All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Stuck behind never-ending windows, all you need is a door. Searching for something to put a smile back on your face. Just remembering unusual times that can come from an unusual place. You need a partner for the ride, 'cause everybody needs a Clyde. So set your worries to the side. Pretend I got a hand I can lend, 'cause when you really need a friend, just ask. Shit 90 Shows taught me.
Shit 90 Shows taught me was not filmed before a live studio audience.
Are you ready to slay another day? So are we. Welcome back to Shit 90 Shows Taught Me. I'm Jess Sterling, here with my co-host, Sarah Humphrey. Sarah, how are you?
I'm so good. I just got my roommate assignments and I'm rooming with you, Jessica. We're rooming together. Are you excited?
Do you label your individual eggs?
Yeah.
Because if you do, you do?
No.
Then you're obviously a demon.
Probably. Yeah. I mean, I am a demon of a roommate. Like, I don't think any of my college roommates listen to this podcast because that would be surprising. But, I was a demon. I was definitely a demon at times. At times I was a really bad roommate. At times I was a good roommate. And I definitely can relate to some of what like Buffy went through, some of what like Kathy was up to. Stories for days of all sorts of roommate shenanigans. But yeah, this was such a fun episode. And I mean, I loved it because it was stupid, and I think that it just was fun, and I think that that's what we need in our life is just like a little bit of fun sometimes. Not everything has to be super serious. Angel, yeah.
Yeah, I think the thing is, because I understand this season is a little bit of like, I don't know if it's a hot mess. I feel like some people are like not super high on it. Whatever. I don't really care. We're here for the drama and we're here for the fun. And this had both. I loved every second of this episode. And I don't know if this is a spicy take. I'll be so interested to hear from listeners. Like, do you love this episode? Do you hate this episode? Do you nothing this episode? Because Sarah, literally last podcast, I was like, something better happen with Kathy, because I don't want just a plain old boring roommate. And this show heard me and delivered. Okay. Yeah. This episode was unhinged in like my favorite way. Like my absolute favorite way. I loved every second of it. It was very collegey. And I think that's also probably why you liked it, because it felt like this is actually some shit you'd have to go through when dorming at college.
Yeah.
And also your roommate's a demon, but like still she also is an asshole. So I loved this episode. We're talking season 4, episode 2, Living Conditions, if we haven't already said it. We have so much to get into. I just love this episode. Okay.
Me too.
So
I do too.
We're going to have a lot of fun here today because let me tell you, it was a joy to rewatch. I rewatched this episode and I loved it just as much the second time.
Yeah. I even understood it more the second time around because I paid attention to the lore of of Kathy and the people. You've grown.
Sarah,
I've graduated.
You've graduated.
You're
in college now.
I really do understand because I, you know, you have to get like, you have to try to understand Kathy, right? Like, what is Kathy want in this world? And that is to leave her previous world and just be a kid. And
she just wants to be a teenager or 900 years old or however old she is.
Yeah. Yeah. So she just wants to go get away from her overbearing parents, which so many college students want, because a lot of the times like I was watching a TikTok the other day and it was like this 18-year-old girl, and she was listing all the rules that she has under her parents' house, and it was like a 10-minute long video. And
what
I
kind
feel
of rules?
Some of them were like reasonable, like can't stay out past 12, have to have like the location on 24/7.
Oh, on
if
your
she
phone.
Goes, yeah. If she goes to one place, she has to tell her parents. If she goes to like a different place, has to tell the parents. The parent always has to be there. Like the parents have to know everybody that's there. Like, and like long story. And there was like 20 more, like clothes regulations, homework, like shit. Like if she, like she has to get all A's. If like she gets an 80, she gets in trouble. Like just like lists and lists of stuff.
It's just making a child never want to be around their parents.
Yeah. Well, I think like the thing is like, what was the phrase? Like overbearing parents make sneaky kids or something like that. Because like she was talking about her friend, and like her friend has like the opposite problem, like zero rules, like can absolutely do anything that she wants. And like, it's like who's closer to their parents. And it's like, obviously the girl that doesn't have any rules, although in an ideal world, like let's meet in the middle.
There are boundaries. Yeah.
Yeah. So long story short, like I just feel like this was Kathy's issue, and like so much so that like she didn't even tell her daddy demon where she was going, right?
I don't think that was her dad. I think
really? I thought that was her dad.
Oh, maybe. I originally thought they were sent. Oh, yes. Okay.
I'm talking about the guy at the end because the thing is that there are these like blue-eyed demons.
Wet mouths. Like, they have wet mouths.
They are wet. They are wrinkly. They have been in the sun way too long, and they have piercing blue eyes.
And piercing teeth too.
Piercing teeth as well. And they are scouting, and we see they're like looking for somebody, and we see the episode and we think that they're looking for Buffy, right? Because we first see them when Buffy and Kathy are out and about. And we're like, oh no, like somebody is,
because they're like, oh, we need to find out if that's the one, if she's the one.
Obviously, you think like that's the Slayer. They're looking for the Slayer.
See, I immediately wrote in our little group chat with some people. What if they're secretly after Kathy, not Buffy? Because I thought, what if Kathy is a wet mouth demon? Like that was one of the first things I thought. Because I just was like, my roommate is a demon. Like, that's a perfect episode of Buffy. And I was right. Yeah. It is a perfect episode of Buffy.
Yeah, that is a great call, Jessica Sterling.
We are led to believe, you're right. Most viewers, I think, would be like, oh, they're after Buffy. They're chasing Buffy because they're demons, right? And Buffy and Kathy keep having these, like, shared nightmares where basically these demons are dementors, okay? We all know what a dementor is. They suck your soul out by putting their mouth really close to your mouth. And these people have wet mouths, so it's even worse that they're doing it. And
it's like they licked their lips and said, I am ready to give you a smooch. A messy top lip kiss is essentially what it is. Yeah. But they're having the same dreams. And I think that it is connected because we find out at the end of the episode, Kathy is slowly stealing Buffy's soul, which is why Buffy is a little bit of a grump this episode, but rightfully so. And honestly,
truly, I was on Buffy's side the entire time.
I didn't think that Buffy was being like so unreasonable. Like, we'll list the things, like the issues, the roommate issues.
Oh, I have a list.
Once we get past like the supernatural element of it. But like, I didn't think that she was being that like quote unquote bitchy, but like everybody else was like, Buffy's being a bitch. And I was just like, Buffy is just having a roommate issue. And I think that Giles like kind of called it, because Buffy's a only child. She's never lived with another person, another kid before. Like, I think that it wasn't a, like, it wouldn't have been that crazy to be, to say that, like, Buffy doesn't enjoy living with a stranger. A lot of people don't like living with a stranger, mm-hmm. Especially somebody that they just get, like, put together randomly. It's interesting because I don't think, and I mean, like, this might just be my experience, I don't think that when you get matched with a roommate freshman year, it's based on anything.
Buffy said it was, but I would agree with you that it's probably random.
There was one time, so, like, I went to film camp, and I'm pretty sure when we filled out our roommate application, we had to do, like, a questionnaire about, like, we did, like, our astrological sign, and we did, like, some, like, really artsy-fartsy bullshit, like, our interests. Like, I'm pretty sure there was one time that was the case where we got, like, actually met. Who knows if they actually used it, but we were led to believe that they did. So there was, but I don't think, so you get thrown with random, and honestly, it is it's like a free for all on who you get, and you get, you can get lucky. And obviously Buffy, did not get lucky with Kathy, because Kathy was not only a demon, but she was, like, kind of a demon. You know what I mean? Yeah,
we need to talk about all of the back and forth between Buffy and Kathy. And I think what we should do is we should treat this like a court. Like, it should be treated, and we need to rule on Kathy or Buffy's.
I got
to
get my stapler. If you didn't see our Felicity episode, we did this before, and it was like the she man woman hater. She man man hater. She woman man haters club. And we have a gavel, but it's really my stapler because that's what I have accessible to us. And we can say guilty or not guilty, but we have to do it. We are free. We have always been very equal opportunist judges. Yes. So we have to say if Buffy is guilty as well. It can't all just be on Kathy.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Perfect. So, firstly, Buffy leaves the window open and Kathy is cold.
Okay.
The window is on Buffy's side.
And Kathy closes it. Now, this is the thing. Mm-hmm. This is very integral because when I was dorming, I am a warm sleeper. I like a breeze. And I like being cold when I sleep. So I was really, really, really intentional about having my bed closest to the window so that if we did have to open it, then I would be cool.
Yeah.
This is a tough one because this is number, like, a main argument when it comes to roommates is temperature. I think that, I mean, like, obviously I'm going to side with Buffy with this, but it is an issue. Like, I really do think, remember that quiz that I outlined? I think that you really should be like, do you like your room cold or you should do like your room hot? Because I think they need
to ask you like a temperature, like what is your ideal living temperature? Because I'm with you. I also like to be a little chilly when I sleep. I don't see this as an issue. Mostly because one, the window is right next to Buffy's bed, not Kathy's bed. Two, it's easier to put on more layers. You don't want Buffy walking around your room naked, Kathy.
Well, yeah, probably not. But also, like, the fact that one opens the window and the other one closes it and the other one opens the window and the other one closes it. It's petty. It gets in such petty territory. I'm obviously more so on Buffy's side. I feel as though also like so the bed, there's one bed here and one bed here and my face is the window.
Mm-hmm. The window was a little bit more on Buffy's side.
Roll the receipts.
It's kind of like behind her bed. I will pull up the receipts.
Because in my mind, they're in the middle, which is equal opportunity, equal real estate.
I'm going to pull this up, but I feel like it's more like a situation like what you were talking about, where the window was, you were like specific about, oh, I want my bed on this side. Yes. Okay. I'm going to share.
Let me see.
I'm sharing my screen here for those of us who want to check out.
Because if we split
this is the window.
Oh, that's the window in question.
It's on Buffy's side.
Literally, it's on Buffy's side, but it's also literally behind Buffy's bed.
Yeah, it's behind her bed.
And I assume that Kathy probably has two windows as well. Is that true?
I don't know.
We're rolling the tapes.
Yeah,
we need our evidence. She's ironing.
She's ironing jeans, which truly... Okay. We should judge her for that.
Okay.
She has windows behind her bed.
She has two windows. Okay. So I think that Kathy is guilty because she is going to Buffy's side and closing Buffy's windows. Now, Buffy went over to Kathy's side and opened up Kathy's windows without Kathy's permission, then that is guilty. Like, everybody has two windows. And you go to your windows. You go to your proper windows. Everybody owns their own windows. So I say Kathy is guilty.
I do too. Concur. Agree.
Now,
ironing
jeans thing, I don't want to say that Kathy is guilty because everybody has their own preferences and she wants to iron her jeans. Like, sure, like maybe it's a little much, but why does Buffy give a crap about if Kathy...
This is just more proof that she's a demon. I don't think it's actually like Buffy is allowed to be upset about this, but I will judge Kathy for ironing her jeans because it's psychopathic behavior.
I don't think it is. Like, why is
any I've person never... I've ever known who's ironed their jeans? A little weird, a little off.
I've never ironed my jeans, but I don't think that I would see somebody ironing their jeans and think that they're weird. I think that instead I would be questioning why I don't iron my jeans. Mm-hmm. Like, should I be ironing my jeans?
That's what they want you to do. Want you to feel bad about yourself.
Do people that are put together, do they iron their jeans? Now, the other day, a couple weeks ago, I got my best compliment that I've gotten in a very long time. And it was, you look very put together and in like a nice like way. And on top of that, it was like, a teenager, like a college kid. Now
that times is that compliment by like a million.
So she was like, you look like a professional lady. You look important. You look put together. And I was like, wow. Now I think put together people iron their jeans. Therefore, should I be ironing my jeans? I don't know.
I don't want to be that put together. I think that's the thing. Kathy's a psycho. Yeah.
Okay, I wouldn't put the gavel down for this.
I would. So this is just a disagreement on. I would get Kathy is guilty for me. She's not guilty for you. The other thing, now we have to bring ourselves back to the 90s for this one because there is back in the day, you used to have to pay for calls, especially like they have a landline in their dorm room, right? Mm-hmm. Kathy wants to keep a call log. So that they know how to, like, I assume split the phone bill when it comes in.
Yeah. Now, this is annoying because, like, let's split the phone bill 50-50. Like, it's, but then again, if Buffy's on the phone, like, 12 times more than Kathy, then I can understand if Kathy is, like, why am I paying? Why am I subsidizing your phone calls, right? Like,
however, I think I agree with you, but what I would say is I think you wait until, and I don't know how often these phone bills come in, but let's pretend it's like once a month or once a semester or something. I think you're like, hey, let's go halvesies. And then if you realize like over time that your roommate is using the phone far more than you are, Then you change it. Then you decide something else. I don't think you start off on day one with a call log. I think that you're putting yourself off on a bad foot there.
Because it's annoying, right?
It's like, really annoying.
Yeah.
It's just really a little annoying. Like weird little notebook. Like,
yeah.
Fuck off, Kathy.
I thought it was just like Kathy was asking Buffy to just take messages, which I was like, yeah, for the times, I guess it makes sense. Like should be taking messages if like calls come in. But if we're just like itemizing who's spending money the most, that's pretty annoying. It reminds me when I was dorming and like, but then again, okay. So like when I was dorming with like a group, like three other girls, not in one room, it was like two rooms. So two and two, it was like, we had to split like paper towels, toilet paper, shit like that, like paper goods. And you had to keep track of that because then there's one person paying for the toilet paper every single time, and it's going on everybody's bottoms, and that's a problem. Garbage bags.
Yeah. So I think it's not wrong of Kathy to have a call log. I think it's wrong to start off the roommate friendship with a call log.
If somebody did that, I would be pretty irritated.
I'd be like, oh, you're that kind of person. Okay. Yeah. Next on the list is Buffy used some of Kathy's milk in her coffee.
Okay. Now this is, it's okay. Some. Now, once again, is this something that is like, well, they've only been rooming for a couple of days. This can turn into a bigger problem because honestly, like this goes back to like, yes, like this is how it always happens. Like you always start off being like, what's mine is yours and yours is mine. And then somebody takes advantage of it and then doesn't rebuy the milk or like doesn't rebuy the toilet paper or whatever. So like this always starts out with the best of intentions. And then by the end of it, and this is like 90% guaranteed because like this ties into the name thing on the eggs, because like this is what happens. Like you start off sharing everything and then somebody takes advantage and then you get pissed off and then you write stuff on everything and then there's post-its and then it becomes a big fucking deal. And I've seen it. And like I think once again, it's if there's two mature people that are splitting these things equally, then we don't have to nickel and dime the fucking milk. But once again, I don't think that we got to that point in this relationship where Buffy was taking advantage. Like, I think that if this was like 2 months down the road and Buffy like finished the milk again without replacing it, I do think that Kathy has the right to feel sour about it. But I don't think that we got there.
Yeah, I think this is where I stand because, I am like a stickler, right? Like, in my opinion, if you eat my leftovers, that's grounds for divorce. Like, it's not okay. It's not acceptable.
Yes.
So, like, I'm the more stickler, I would say. I'd be more of the Kathy when it comes to food sharing. However, I personally, if my roommate needed milk for their coffee and used a little bit of my milk, I would not throw a hissy fit.
You need to ask.
I do think you should ask. I would put like the caveat of like, if Kathy wasn't home when Buffy realized she didn't have milk, I would probably use a little bit of it and then talk to her later about it and be like, hey, Kathy, like I needed to use some of your milk for coffee, whatever. I don't think it's that big of a deal to use a little bit of milk. Now, if Kathy had like 6 yogurts or something in the fridge, and then all of a sudden she had 5 yogurts and Buffy straight up ate one of her yogurts, that's different. You're consuming the entire product. Like, that's different. I feel like one little tablespoon of milk, like how much milk could she realistically have put in her coffee? Like, it's not that much. So while I agree with the principle of it, of like, this is mine, this is yours, I personally don't see a little bit of milk as like this massive deal. But we have to talk about Kathy's general thoughts on the mini fridge, because exhibit B.
Well, this is the big issue, is that Kathy is using up the entire mini fridge. So even if Buffy had things that she, like if she had things that she needed to put in the fridge that were her own, Kathy's taking up the entire real estate. Now, I do, of course, want to analyze what Kathy has in this. Yeah.
So we have a small jug of milk with her. Also, if you're not watching the video podcast, I just need to let everyone know, not only is everything labeled with Kathy's name, it is with a huge ass label maker.
Well,
and in all caps.
Yeah, I do like the organization. Like, I do think that it looks good, and I like the way that she has Tupperware. So I'm not blaming her for that.
No, so she has a little thing of milk, what looks to be something with apricots. Hot? Is it like some sort of oatmeal?
That says hot cream.
It's from Trader Joe's.
No way.
It says it. Look it.
No way.
Trader Joe's.
I'm gonna
Enhanced.
It really is Trader Joe's.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So I need to
blow this up. My eyes are
cream oatmeal thing.
I just got new glasses. Let's go. With apricots. Wait, hold up. I have a question. I feel like I'm living in a Mandela effect because every single bitch in this galaxy is saying apricots these days. When has it been apricots?
I say apricots.
Okay. I thought that I was going insane because I thought you just said apricot. And then I was like, what the fuck am I doing? Okay. And then underneath it says, ooh, apple cinnamon oatmeal. So it's hot cereal. I see. It's oatmeal. Okay.
But do these need to be refrigerated?
Maybe it's like just like some like special pre-made one. We got our yogurt because this is the 90s and everybody
eats fat-free
light yogurt with aspartame. We are literally advertising aspartame. For aspartame. I have to hide my love for aspartame these days.
Nowadays. It looks to me like she has two separate leftovers containers of tortellini.
Oh, is that? Yeah, that is tortellini.
It looks like tortellini, right?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe three. I think this one also is a tortellini.
Why? Okay, how and why did she get so much tortellini?
Lots and then this one to me looks kind of like some sort of a red sauced pasta.
You know what?
Also, you shouldn't put in a plastic container because it's going to stain it.
It's going to stain, but what else are you going to do? I'm not going to lie. Like, her food does look good, and I think that we just need to stack better.
Because we could have stacked like three of these containers on top of these containers.
Yeah, like we can absolutely we're not saving space. And now and then on the bottom, which I think
is the most egregious
part of all of this,
because literally they're in a container. Put your name on the container, you crazy bitch. Yeah,
she has five. Like 10
eggs. It looks like about a dozen eggs.
She has a dozen eggs, which in the year 2025 equals to $150.
She's a rich bitch.
She's really rich. And she writes her name on every single one of them, which is not needed. But also, she's a hard egg boil person. Hard boiled eggs, which I find nasty. That is like my big ick food. I can't do it. I really can't. I think it's the nastiest shit I've ever. I love
a hard-boiled egg.
No.
Egg salad. So you don't like a deviled egg?
No.
Mm-mm. Whoa.
Creepy. It's gross. Like, I don't know. I think that the eggs are the most egregious part of all of it, to be honest with you. I do think that you sometimes have to write your name on stuff. But also,
individual eggs. Yeah.
It would send me. But then again, I don't know. Did I ever tell you? She's hogging the fridge. So I think that she's guilty with that. I think it's annoying. Like, I honestly think, like, I don't know. Like, part of me is like, yeah, like, you kind of have to, because I've literally had like 10 plus roommates throughout my college years. I had a lot of roommates. And you really do have to do some of this shit. But it's really fucking annoying.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, Geico helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with Geico.
I think that like the one thing that Kathy did not do that would really send me to the deep end was Post-its. Like, I get so like my big issue when I was in school, when I was in a roommate, was that my roommates would put Post-its everywhere, and it would be like Post-its like, please take out your trash, or like, please like clean out your.
Oh, that's so passive aggressive.
Yeah,
no.
Like, this is mine, blah, 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 blah. And it was like, why can't you fucking just talk to me and like just ask me? Why do you have to leave some fucking notes?
Think they're being non-confrontational, but it comes across as way more passive aggressive.
So one time I was out late, not partying. I think I was doing homework because I'm such a historian.
Homework.
I think I was doing homework. I was at the library or like working on my projects, and I come home late. I was like 12:30, maybe 1 o'clock, and I come home. Post-its everywhere. Post-it here. Post-it there. Post-it everywhere. And then I was so mad. I started slamming the cabinet doors at like 1 o'clock in the morning. And I was on the phone with my friend. And I was like, this is fucking bullshit. There's post-its everywhere. And this is why I'm saying I was the demon. I was loud on purpose to make my roommates know how unhappy I was about.
What were the post-its about? Like,
cleaning shit, or like, if you're going to use the last toilet paper, please get no toilet paper, something like that. And I was irate. And I was also like probably in the wrong. Like, I probably should have like taken out the garbage or whatever I did. I don't know. But I was pissed. So I was just making all sorts of noise in the middle of the night, waking up my roommates, causing, because you know, Jessica, I am such an well-tempered young lady. But when you piss me off, you hate to see me coming.
Yeah, the Aries moon.
Absolutely.
Coming
the
through.
Fire was burning through my skin. I was mad. So yeah, that was the thing. And also, I've told you about the I don't know. I just
there was so, like a frozen item that like your roommate thought you were eating.
No, no, no. This is what it was. It was a corn dog. A frozen.
That's what it was. And you were a vegetarian or something.
I was a vegetarian, and my roommate's boyfriend accused me of stealing his corn dog.
Why are his corn dogs in your freaking room anyway?
I don't even think they were. Like, I think that like he accused me of like, I don't know how the corn dog got wherever, but he saw me eating a corn dog and he accused me of stealing his corn dogs. I said, yo, you motherfucker, I'm a vegetarian. This corn dog is a vegetarian corn dog from Trader Joe's, actually.
Oh, like, no, look at
that. Don't accuse me of stealing your fucking corn dogs. I don't want your fucking meat, you dick. So I wasn't happy about that. And that's just some of my roommate's story. I'm as a monster, like, to be honest with you. I was so mad. However, I also can relate to Kathy's fascination with one particular song, and that is
Do You Believe in Love After Love? Now,
yeah, by Cher.
Yeah.
Of course. Which I mean, to be honest with you, that song is a bop.
It's but a bop over and bop. Over and over again, I would fucking kill Kathy.
It would be really annoying. I have also experienced this in my roommate journeys, because I had this one roommate that would play the same song over and over and over and over again for hours while her and her boyfriend were fucking in the next room.
Now they'd be fucking for hours?
I mean like foreplay. I don't know. They were young, probably making out. I don't know. But it was like loud music, really, really loud. The bass was popping. The ass was smacking. And we were playing.
What is the name of the song again? I know you sent it to me, but I forgot.
Bed by Jay Holiday. And listened, right?
If anyone wants to listen to it while they get freaky,
now,
you're welcome.
That song is also a bop. But
after like the fourth time.
Not for like an hour and a half straight. That is not the case.
And
so
here's the thing. I know this is the 90s and like we don't have like Beats headphones and everything, but like they had other headphones. Like this bitch didn't have to be playing out loud on the boombox all fucking day.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, yes, she should not have been. That was pretty annoying. That's guilty, putting the gavel down.
Guilty. Guilty.
Guilty. But yeah, so like all what is there anything else that
oh Kathy there's more would? There's more
oh let me so, hear it. Bring it on.
Okay, these are more things that I think make Kathy a weirdo versus make her a terrible roommate. She sharpens all her pencils and measures them to make sure they're all the same length.
Yeah, I'd be watching that being like, ooh, I don't know.
Yeah, it's a little weird. She also just does a lot of flossing, which I don't see a problem with. That just seems like good dental health.
I am a flosser. I floss every day, which apparently, like, I didn't used to do that. But also, I floss in the privacy of my own bathroom. So,
okay, yes, because while the flossing didn't bother me that much, I feel like that's kind of fine to do out in a communal area. The cutting of the toenails.
That was pretty gross.
especially because she's still getting on the edge of the bed and you know they're just flying everywhere. It's disgusting.
I mean, like, this is the thing. Like, I don't think, like, I would be doing these, like, grosso things with my roommate around. Like, this is, like, behavior. Anytime. This is what you do when, like, Buffy goes out all hours of the night to patrol.
Now is when you, yeah. See, here's the thing, Sarah. I am a very anxious person. And so I think if I had a new roommate and I didn't really know them that well, I would wait until they were gone to do all of these things because I would be so nervous to be, like, doing it in front of them. Like, cutting my toenails in front of them is weird. The other thing is, so Buffy, when she is trying to fight this demon, right, she shoves Kathy. Kathy falls, gets schmutz on her sweater. She steals a sweater from Buffy out of her closet.
This is bad. Yeah, this is not good.
And then gets ketchup on it.
Oh, my gosh. The fact that I've seen that meme before. That
we've all seen that gif. Yeah, the like, GIF. Really intense, like, eye look.
I was shocked, like, when it actually came up and in the context it came up with. I don't think that I've had, like, that moment since, like, the Dawson's, like, crying
face.
Yeah. Like, I haven't had that moment where, like, there's such a famous GIF and I didn't know the context of it. However, when it finally comes up, you're like, it's like finding an Easter egg, right? You're like, oh my God, there it is. I found it.
Yeah, the thing. Yeah.
Yeah, it was really funny. It was really funny to see that live and in the context because I wasn't expecting it. Mm-hmm. This is really bad. This is really, really bad to, number one, take the sweater without asking. And then number two, get freaking ketchup on it. You know, like, that sweater was like cashmere. Like, you know, that's not going to come out. Mm-hmm. That was really, really bad. My best friend had a roommate that stole her underwear and wore it along with other clothing.
That's a freak, right? That's a freak.
She was.
She couldn't pay me to wear someone else's underwear.
She just did. I don't know. I don't remember.
I don't know how many times they've been washed. Those have been touching parts that are not going to be touching my parts.
Yeah, like, I think I like, my friend just was like, I don't know. Like, she was like, my clothes are going missing. My clothes. No, she, like, called me up. She's like, Sarah. She's like, blah, blah, blah. Like, I found my underwear and her stuff, like, is, like, in her drawers. Like, she stole my underwear. Like, what do I do? She's like, obviously she's not going to take it back. But, like, it's like her roommate was, like, not only stealing, like, other clothes, like t-shirts and shit, what, but also her underwear. Fuck. I know.
That's fucked. Oh, my God.
I'm going to ask her if she remembers. I don't know if she ever confronted her.
I want to know.
Remember when your college roommate stole your underwear? Let's see.
Yeah, Kathy is definitely guilty in the stealing Buffy sweater. I do have a question about this, though. And my question is, why does Buffy have a lock on the exterior of her closet? Like, there's a lock if you lock someone in the closet, they can't come out.
Did she install the lock so Kathy would stop stealing from her closet?
But it doesn't work like that. It's one of those locks that you can open from the outside, but if you're inside the closet, you can't get out.
I need to see the context. Okay, or the
I will try to find it.
Because I would have interpreted it like that she didn't used to have it, but then once Kathy stole the sweater, like, she went
in existence before and then stole it. It's there before Kathy steals the sweater.
Yeah.
So I will pull it up. But yeah, that I thought was, like, kind of strange. Here, I will show it on our YouTube. Do you see this lock here?
I see.
This makes no sense. It's like a deadbolt sort of thing.
Okay. So this is like my new theory, but it wouldn't make sense because, like, I would see that if this was in any adjoining room, like, let's say the closet is a shared closet with the people on the other side of the dorm. Like, I don't think that this is it would make sense if it was like a bathroom, like a Jack and Jill bathroom.
Yeah.
Like, if, like, I'm envisioning that, but no, I guess, like, the only thing is, like, let's lock the demons out. Like,
that's
there's so
I'm
many.
Saying. Put them in the closet. So many and they
demons.
Can't get out.
Like, let's lock the demons.
Yeah. It's very strange.
Yeah.
And that's about everything in terms of like the back and forth. They have like there's these big the rug, fights. Like, oh yeah, the little rug that Buffy like I guess knocks over occasionally. But she Buffy trips. Does chug her milk.
Okay, so like it gets to a point where, and this is kind of like what happened with like my cabinet slamming. Like the fact that you are getting like piled on makes you pissed off. So then you start acting out yourself. But also her soul was getting stolen a little bit by Kathy. So she was getting a little edgy. So Buffy does have this like really unhinged moment where she steals Kathy's milk and drinks the entire thing, but then she's spilling it on herself.
That's gonna get in the carpet and stink.
Do you see those like old ass crusty Doritos back there?
Those are some 90s Doritos.
Those are the oldest Doritos I've ever seen. But yeah, so she starts doing some really deranged things. And I think like we can just chalk it up to, once again,
losing
her soul is getting stolen bit by bit. I once again think that like as somebody who also started acting out once her roommates were like piling on you or like putting post-it notes everywhere or whatever, and I start like maybe my soul was getting stolen a little bit, but also I was like going through a breakup in the time. It was very stressful. I had like a soap addiction. It was like really weird times.
God, about the soap.
It was really weird times. Okay.
So yeah, Buffy gets more and more and more agitated with Kathy, and she's like, you know, she's saying all of this to her friends. She even like talks to Giles about it. We get to see the exterior of where Giles lives.
Ooh, I love it. She has like this little courtyard area that's really fabulous. I want to live there too. And I love how Buffy was like, wait, do you ever hang out here? Like, this is like really nice.
Yeah. And Giles, she wants to hang out there because she doesn't want to have to deal with her roommate. Yeah. Giles is running, apparently. That's a new thing for him. And all of this ends up coming to a head when they're like, when Buffy has collected Kathy's toenails and is like, look, they're still growing. That's how you know she's a demon. I have to kill her. And they're like, gosh, we really need to stop Buffy before we, and then we'll figure this out. So they tie her up, but she's Buffy. So that's not going to work because you got freaking Bozo the Clowns over here and Oz and Xander tying her up. And it doesn't quite work out, obviously, because she unties herself and then gets free. I love the fight between Buffy and Kathy where Buffy full on just rips her face.
Yeah, absolutely wild. I mean, because like this is part of like the demon spiel, like this type of demon is that they can change the way that they look to be anything, including human. You would think that their mask, their human face mask, would stay on a little bit better. It just wouldn't be like so easily ripped off. But yeah, they finally get into a physical fight and Buffy like pretty much like they're kind of like beating each other's ass. And it wasn't until Kathy's dad comes and is like, Kathy, it's time for you to go home. You're punished. And Kathy's like, no, I'm 900 years old. I'm not a kid anymore. He's like, oh, well, you can talk when you're 1600 years old. Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Rough. I mean, my dad nor my mom never came and picked me up from school. And like, once I was in college, I was like, you're in trouble, Missy.
That would be so embarrassing for her. But yeah, she does get picked up by her demon parents. Also, I did forget there is one more offense that we do have to talk about. Mm-hmm. Seems like Buffy put her gum on Kathy's nightstand, which feels like that's really bad. And she blames it on the gum gnome.
This is also something that I did when I was a kid a lot was put gum.
Oh, I thought you were going to say when you were college.
I'm pretty sure my gum stuck. But I would put gum when I was a kid everywhere.
Why? It's so disgusting.
I don't know. I was a kid, so much so that like I got punished once, and I wasn't allowed to like
have gum
or blow bubbles for like some sort of time. And I was like telling this story to Adam, and I was just like, yeah, like, and I was at camp. And they had like a bubble blowing contest and like I like couldn't participate. And he was like, Sarah, so you were at camp. And I was like, yeah. So
they,
and he was
they
like,
no.
So yeah. like like you did, like I literally could have gone and done the bubble blowing contest and like nobody would have known. But like I legitimately must have gone to camp then be like, okay, everybody, we're doing like the bubble blowing contest. And I must be like, hey,
I'm not allowed to have gum.
I can't have gum. Like, I can't do it. I have to sit out. And I remember this, like, at this story as, like, a traumatizing event because I was so upset that I had to get left out at the bubble blowing contest. And Adam literally was just like, you could have participated. But I was, like, so much of a goody two-shoes that I was like, I can't do it. Like, I'm punished from gum blowing. It was very upsetting for me, though. I remember it was very dramatic. Like, I was at, like, there was the black top, and then, like, there was, like, this little hill. I had to sit at the top of the hill and watch everybody do it. I felt very left out. Such a loser. But, yeah, I guess, like, I guess I could have just blown the bubbles. But, yeah, because the reason why is because I put my gum in the couch cushions.
That's disgusting. What's wrong with you? How do you this is why having a kid terrifies me. Cause how do you sit a kid down and just say, stop putting gum in the couch?
I would also put gum like behind like my bedposts. I would just put gum like everywhere. I don't know why. No idea why, but I would. Like, I would just like put my gum everywhere.
That's crazy.
I mean, it's understandable, like, now why I got punished and not allowed to eat gum.
Yeah, because they don't want gum on their freaking couch cushions.
But I like literally would put my gum like everywhere, like underneath the table, like in the vents.
Oh my God. God. Oh, I also, well, how about in the trash? How about in a tissue?
I don't know. It doesn't go there. And then like I would put whenever, you know how like the phrase like sweeping things under the rug?
No.
I like would literally sweep like trash and stuff under the rug so that I don't know why.
Yeah.
I was a really messy kid.
It sounds like it. It sounds like a nightmare.
Yeah. Yeah, one time I like my mom came into my room and she threw all of my clothes outside the window because I wouldn't clean my room.
Out the house window?
Yeah. That everything that was on the floor.
Tell me it was the second story.
Of course it was. There was like a pair of like my underwear like stuck on the top of the roof for like years.
For years?
Probably.
And no one went and got them?
It was on the roof, Jessica.
Do you have a ladder?
I don't know.
What do you mean?
We moved out of that house. God. I bet the underwear was still there when we moved out. Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah.
One other thing I want to talk about. I have multiple other things I want to talk about. But one of them is we have new cute guy on the scene. And this is another, like, may or may not be a faux pas of Kathy's that they meet in the lunch line. Buffy and him meet in the lunch line and he gives her some tips on how to like game the system in terms of meal planning.
Yeah. I remember this, the swipe advantage. Yeah. I definitely remember you have to save your swipes and you can like go at the end of the semester and just like load up on random shit.
Yeah,
there was one time where I bought four cases of Starbucks Frappuccinos because I had so much money left.
That's crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
Goodness gracious. Well, she meets this cute boy in the lunch line and he's again trying to teach her about how to like store up on stuff and whatnot. So he comes to visit her later to bring her Ziploc baggies, which I thought was simply adorable. But the problem is, Fickin' Kathy, when he walks in, she's like, I want some of that cute ass. So she's been flirting with him while Buffy hasn't been around.
Yeah, that is definitely a faux pas, but they were just chilling. Who is this man? Like, I feel like I've seen him.
Oh, we've seen him. Do you want to know where you've seen him, Sarah?
Sure.
He broke Jack's heart in Dawson's Creek. I think his name was Ethan.
Oh,
you remember him?
Yeah.
Isn't he like Jack's first kiss?
Maybe.
Yeah, that's Ethan, that guy
from Dawson's Creek.
Yeah, this guy's name is Parker, but it is the same actor.
This man is very good looking. I'm not gonna lie.
Very good looking. So very could be the new love interest for Buffy. We don't know. It's possible very now that Kathy's out of the picture.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Yeah.
So Willow also has a roommate that plays loud music literally all the time. And by the end of the episode, now that Kathy's gone, we have what we should have had from the beginning, which is Buffy and Willow as roommates.
Yeah, that's exciting. I gotta be honest with you. This is one of the things that I spoiled myself on. So,
That Buffy and Willow were going to be roommates.
Yeah. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I mean, it would have been funny if Kathy, because I literally had said when I was partly through the episode, I was like, this is before it was confirmed that Kathy is a demon. I said, Kathy is definitely a dementor. She's sucking my soul out right now. I love this episode because of how much I hate Kathy. And I put it somewhere, but I'm convinced Kathy's the chosen one. And by chosen one, I mean biggest demon we've ever seen.
She's the big bad of the entire series.
I thought that she was going to stay around all season to like annoy Buffy all season.
No. Okay. I do have a quick update about my friend in the underwear situation.
Please. Yes. Okay.
She says that she literally saw her underwear hanging out of her roommate's suitcase and she confronted her about it. And she also stole the roommate also stole like DVDs, like movies and sunglasses from her. But she denied everything.
How are you going to say all of that shit is yours? Like, come on.
And I know my friend, like, she's like uber not confrontational.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, my friend like definitely was like in a prison of her own knowing. I was like, okay, yeah. I guess I can't say anything then. But yeah, that was her freshman roommate. I remember that very well. That was a crazy story. I wonder, I might have a letter because like my friends and I would like write each other letters freshman year of college. So I might have a letter explaining it. I'm going to see if I could try to find that because that would be so funny. Anyway, Willow also had roommate issues, but she didn't seem like she was kind of like my friend. She didn't seem
she was very passive about it. Yeah. She was like, oh, if they're playing a lot of music, I'll just go study in the library. Like, I won't even hang out in my room.
Basically, Willow's roommate was a rager. She would have like a party all day, every day, loud music, tons of people over. Mm-hmm. And I think that like Willow was trying to be like a fun time girl. Like we know that she wanted the jello shots. Like we know that she wants to be loosey goosey in college. But obviously once Buffy had a opening, then Willow was going to come and they're going to be roommates, which I think is going to be really fun. Obviously, they're going to have a good time together. I think it makes a lot of sense. I also think that we also had a good moment from Oz this episode because I really liked when Oz was like, yeah, like I could be part of the girls. Like I can like hang out with Buffy, no problem. And he kind of like babysat her a little bit.
Yeah, and we get a really interesting, very small moment with Oz right before he's going to, like, Buffy is about to go patrol or whatever. He goes with her. He crosses paths with, like, a woman and two guys. And it's almost like they're, like, both of their spidey senses go off, the woman's and Oz's. I think she might be a werewolf because, and not just because I predicted this, but also because as Oz passes, we see more like army guys seemingly following the woman and her like minions or whatever. I don't know that that's like certain what was happening. Like it could be they were going after someone else, but I feel like it seems like they were going after those guys. Like all
there was a very deliberate look. I wasn't sure when I was watching it if Oz was sniffing out the army guys like he or if it was specifically her, but they did have a look and it would be interesting. And
like you said, there was a sniff and we know he has a super sniffer.
He does have a super sniffer. So it'd be interesting to see if there is another werewolf, like, and how Oz would relate to that. Is this like another part of like the Scooby Gang? Is this like ops? Is she something else like a vampire or like some other supernatural, and he's able to detect that. Is she a vampire? Because like, I know that like the army guys, I think, were trying to fight vampires.
Right. Right.
And maybe like he sniffed out her as being a supernatural. And if the army guys are patrolling the campus and targeting her, like that would make sense. But is she maybe like a good guy? And then Oz is going to try to like save her. Like if they're trying to, if they know that she is a werewolf, as you say, like, obviously he's going to have like a conflict of interest with like them hunting werewolves, like, because right. then, you know, they can turn on him. So I think that that's something that we're probably going to see a continuation of in the coming episodes. It's interesting what will come from that.
Yeah, it was a very small moment, but definitely something that stood out for me. So I'm really excited where we leave things off this episode. We're like, okay, Buffy and Willow are roommates now, so Buffy doesn't have to worry about like sneaking around. She can like come and go like she needs to. She has her BFF as her roommate. And like Xander, I do want to talk about him for just a second, because I know we didn't really touch on him all that much. I did feel a little bad for him that he's like hanging out in the college cafeteria because he like doesn't really have much going on. And I do like that, because I do think this is representative of like a particular person that like after high school is over, they're a little lost and they're trying to like recreate old times, right? He's like, oh, do we need to get the Scooby gang back together? Like,
yeah.
I just felt a little bad for him that like, I don't know what his plans are, or even if he has plans.
He has no plans.
It seems like living at home with his parents is a fucking nightmare. So like, I really just want him to get out of there, honestly. Like, I really just want him to be able to move out and like find something he's passionate about. I hope
he's able to. So he did say that he is living with his parents, but he has to pay money towards food. So he probably has to pay rent. He probably has to pay towards the utilities. Obviously, this man has no job. So just like Giles, who has no job.
Giles is a daddy Giles. He's allowed to have a job.
Giles needs to get a job. Like man needs to get a job. But yeah, I'm really happy that you're showing some sympathy towards Xander, Jessica.
He wasn't a total asshole this episode. When he's nice, I'm nice to him. I really
that
like
has not historically been the case.
No, that is the truth. And here's the thing: when him and Oz were in that scene together and they're like have Buffy tied up and everything, I really was like cracking up when they're like, oh, we should check on the rope. I don't think it's tight enough. And he's like, yeah, go check on the rope.
Yeah, they're both afraid to go like near her, like understandably so, because like once they do, they get their heads smashed together. Mm-hmm. Tweedledee and Tweedledum, quite honestly. Like,
I enjoy them together. And you know what? I would enjoy them more together if I didn't have in the back of my mind that Xander is the reason that Waz broke up for a little bit. Like, well, Xander and Willow. I'm not putting it all on Xander.
I do like how Oz kind of has like a little bit of dominance over Xander. Like, he kind of is, I don't know, like he doesn't have to like try as hard to be.
He's a cool guy.
He's a cool guy. He's a
cool guy. Anything else on this episode of Buffy before we go into our creeper corner / Cordy corner?
No, really, really fun episode. I really enjoyed it. I would love to have more like this. That is like 75% like college teenage stuff, 25% supernatural. Like, I think that for me personally, that's probably the sweet spot of how I want to watch these episodes. But I know that especially once we get to the second half of the season, I know that won't be the case, because I know that from my understanding, we'd like to start off slow in the beginning of the seasons, doing monsters of the week, and then we really rev up halfway through the season.
Yeah.
So, I really enjoyed it.
I do think this is probably my favorite, like, monster of the week episode we've seen. Like, it's my favorite like zany episode, maybe that's a better way to put it, where it's like we're not really progressing the plot all that much, we're just having fun and doing dumb shit. Like, I really enjoyed myself. Like, I had running commentary the entire time, and you know that means it's a good episode when I am just like verklempt. I don't even know. I was just, I was unhinged because I was loving this episode so much.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it too.
All right. So before we talk about Angel, do you want to know what season 4, episode 3's title is?
Yes.
The Harsh Light of Day.
Oh, no. Somebody, I don't know what that means.
Maybe. Maybe they're getting cooked. Okay, let's turn to Creeper Corner / Cordy Corner for Angel Season 1, Episode 2, Lonely Hearts. This was a snooze fest.
It was so boring. I can't even. It was so funny because, like, you know, Jess said in before we started recording, like, yeah, like, we'll talk about the episode and then we'll, like, touch briefly on Angel. And I was like, first, I literally, like, you saw my face, Jessica. I was like, fuck, like, I didn't watch the episode. And I was like, no, wait, yes, I did. But, like, mm-hmm. I cannot recall anything, really. The only thing that I remember is that Bodhi from Dawson's Creek was in it. And that was an exciting moment for me. And he had, like, a really big part in it.
He did.
He was, like, a bartender, and he was in the entire episode. But besides being a bartender and being in the whole episode, I don't remember anything that happened. I know, like, this blonde cop lady is probably going to be Angel's love interest or something.
Kate, and she apparently, her name is. And Kate? I agree with you. As soon as he met her, I'm like, okay, here we have the love interest.
Yeah,
but she's also so boring.
She's pretty boring. She seems important, though. I do know for a fact Angel loves blondes because anytime he is near a blonde, he's like, boner up. I, like, sign me up. I am here.
Assemble, baby. We got a blonde.
He loves blondes. And, like, his only show besides Drululu, but, like, I honestly think that he was just doing it for funsies. I honestly think that, like, that's all he's interested in. Doyle was doing something. Who knows what? I don't remember. Cordy was even boring in this episode, too. Like, I don't remember.
The thing. Like, the gist of the episode is that there's, like, this serial killer that goes to bars and fucks people, and then this weird mutant bug comes out of their chest and infects the next person, and it just moves from person to person.
Oh, and, like, the Animorphs.
Yeah. What? No.
Yes.
What? That's how Animorphs work?
Okay. Not the actual Animorphs, but the bad guys, the Animorphs.
Oh, the bad guys.
Okay, basically, in the Animorphs, there was this little bug, and then the little bug, like, got crawled bigger into your ear. Ooh. And then that's why, and this is, like, I still think about it to this day. Like, you know how, like, people, like, put their finger in their ear to itch it?
Yeah.
That is how in the Animorphs you knew that they were infected by the bug.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So, like, whenever I see, or, like, whenever I itch my own ear, I'm like, it's the bug from Animorphs. And basically the bug would, like, leave and then, like, go into somebody else, blah, 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 blah. So, okay. So basically people were infested. There was a murderer. I don't know. It was boring. The thing
is, exactly. It was very boring. Kate thinks that the serial killer is Angel because Angel's, like, always around.
He's just a vampire.
And he's a fucking creep. That's why she thinks it's him. But he ends up saving her, blah, blah, blah. Like you said, truly not a ton happened beyond we introduced that Kate exists. And maybe there'll be something going on between Doyle and Cordelia because it did feel like there was a little something there.
Well, Doyle is very interested in Cordelia. Yes. And Angel was just like, you know, go for it. Like, if you want to, sure, why not? And Cordelia is like, maybe, but also, is Cordelia too good for Doyle?
At this current moment in time, yes. But I don't know Doyle like that. Oh, I have, like, 3 seasons of Cordy content to go by.
Okay. Also, Doyle was really trying hard to keep the fact that he was a demon porcupine a secret and was not doing a very good job with it.
No, it came out pretty much immediately. So now Cordelia knows that he's a porcupine demon. But we're basically just setting up that Kate is a new girl in town or new girl on Angel. And Angel and her obviously gonna fuck, which, like, vigilante and a cop together, I mean, that makes sense, I guess.
Oh, I also thought that it was funny that they were like, don't say the V word. Like, we are not vigilantes. Like, don't. Like, that sort of thing is, like, very funny.
And I do love the running joke that no one can tell what's on his business card, even though it's very obviously an angel. Especially when you see the name is like Angel Investigations, like it looks like an angel, but okay. I think it's a skunk or something, whatever.
Yeah. There's a new angel wing emoji that has populated within the last year. So
what are people using it for?
Well, I mainly use it with PiFi because PiFi's symbol are angels. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So that's how it comes into the mix.
We did get feedback from Linda about for Cordy's Corner about Lonely Hearts.
Oh, shit. Like, I also forgot that, like, didn't we? I put up a poll. I don't really even remember the responses.
Oh, was it on, where was it? On Twitter?
It was Twitter and Instagram. So why don't you read?
Yes, you get Linda's. The results of what we're going to be calling this section of the podcast. Hey, Sarah and Jess, looks like we figured out where Bodhi disappeared to whenever he vanished from Capeside. He was bartending in L.A. Rip to the actor. Yes, unfortunately. I forgot to respond to you earlier. I was very excited to see him. Like, it was nice. And it was nice that he had like a bigger part when it turns out that the monster is in him. It was really fun. Am I the only one who thinks the scenes where Angel talks to Kate are like 10 years long? I just can't with Angel and blonde chicks, I guess. You're not alone, Linda. She is very boring. Doyle is my absolute favorite Angel character. I love him so much. It totally confused me when you guys kept calling Jonathan Doyle. I was like, that's not Doyle.
That's so funny.
I ship him so hard with Cordelia. Made me happy to hear Jess say she is Team Cordy Doyle. Yeah. I also agree. Angel and Cordy equals all the nopes. Keeping it real. I just don't like any the idea of anyone with Angel because he's just so damn annoying.
Yeah. Facts. I mean, I guess. However, I mean, who knows? Eventually he's going to find somebody that's good for him. Sure. I'm sure. Everybody has somebody.
Going back to Buffy season 2, Whistler, or as Sarah referred to him as Mr. Jigglypuff, was introduced with the intentions of his character appearing on Angel. That's why he was a bit mysterious. Max Perlich, the actor who played him, was unavailable, so Joss created the character of Doyle to replace Whistler as Angel's connection to the PTB. See, okay, we thought it was this guy. We thought it was him.
Yeah. Like, it has the same view, like, vibe. Okay. Excuse me, what was that man doing that was too important that he couldn't take a primary role in Angel?
I don't know. Look at his IMDb. I don't know. Idea. Max Perlich.
What's his name?
Max Perlich.
Max Perlich?
Yeah.
Max Perlich?
Yeah.
Yeah. What did he have going on that was like, oh, I'm probably too busy to start in a TV show?
Maybe the biggest regret of his life. Oh, probably.
He's 5'4 years. 5'4.
He's 5'4?
He's 5'4. I don't know.
Okay. Short king, I guess. The decision to bring Charisma over to Angel. Oh, I love this background. Okay. The decision to bring Charisma over to Angel was made because Cordy became a fan favorite character, but didn't have much room to progress as a character on Buffy with such a large ensemble cast. The creators of Angel felt giving her a co-lead spot on Angel gave more room for Cordelia's character arc to be explored.
Fair.
I think that's fair. Quick story time. It had been announced early on in season 3 that it would be Charisma's final season on Buffy and that she would be moving to Angel. During Lover's Walk, when Cordy fell getting impaled and was like, I can't see you, followed by the fake out cemetery scene, I was bawling and screaming at my TV. My brothers were laughing their asses off and they were like, you know, she's fine. She's on the spinoff.
Oh, my gosh.
That's really funny. I
really did react like big to that scene. So yeah,
they did. They got me for a second.
Yeah.
I'm excited you guys are giving Angel a chance. It's really hard to say reasons why you may like the show without giving spoilers. At least the Cordelia is out of the bag now. Like it was pointed out, she is the co-lead. She has second billing, so there will be a big focus on her characters, on her character. I hope you ladies end up enjoying the ride, Linda. Linda, I would say I thought the pilot was okay, and I thought the second episode was boring, but hopefully episode 3 gets me on board. I do love Cordy, and I have a feeling I'm going to really like Doyle. I think Angel is going to be the problem.
In the watch that we were recommended, didn't they say that episode 3 was...
Yes.
one of the
Michael
ones
that- gave us a list. Michael yeah. from San Francisco gave us a list, and the list went one and then three. So hopefully three is good.
Yeah. So the people know that episode two sucks.
I think they do. They probably know Kate's boring too, but you know, Kate. Just saying. She is boring.
For a second, I forgot. I don't like cop lady, blonde cop lady.
Blonde cop. That's all we need to know about her is that she's blonde cop. So that's everything we have for Buffy this week. I'm really excited to see what kind of shenanigans the Scoobies get up to next week at college, because I'm liking this new vibe. I'm liking the college vibe, and I'm excited to see what we're going to get. Like, I think sometimes a show needs a little bit of like, oh, we're going to college now. We need a new set. You know, we need some new stuff. I do want Giles. I love to see him being Daddy Giles and just fucking whoever he wants and like running around and whatever. But I would like to see him get some sort of a storyline where he like gets a job or something.
Man needs a job. Like, I'm not lying. Like, he needs to get a job. He is. He needs to be employed.
Poor guy.
Yeah.
So anything else, Sarah? Anything else you want to say before we skedaddle?
No, I don't think so, but thank you for asking.
Of course. You all know where to find us, shit90spod.com, shit90spod@gmail.com. If you want to send in feedback, or you could send in a voicemail, let your voice be heard. Sarah, did you ever find the results of the poll as to what we're calling that corner?
It was close, but on both Instagram and Twitter, Cordy's Corner won.
It is official. Fuck Angel. It is officially Cordy's Corner.
And then we can thank Mars Bars for that recommendation.
Thank you so much, Mars Bars. We greatly appreciate your contributions. And we shall now henceforth be naming it Cordy's Corner. So that will be starting next week. But yeah, that's everything we have going on. So make sure you're following along at Shit 90s Pod. And we'll return next week with the next episode of Buffy. Until then, everyone, here endeth the lesson.
Just ask. Shit 90s Shows taught me.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, Geico helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with Geico.